We're glad to be here.
Amen. Yes.
Thank you, Ashley, for bringing us to worship there, but I want to tell you I'm not going to be very nice today. But I would tell you this, I love you, every one of you. I love you. I hope that you can try to love me, but I love you. But I want to be a pastor that comes straight from the heart, from the God's word, but I got to tell you, it ain't easy being out there. I mean, what we're doing to talk about is the struggle is real. The struggle is real in this world. We're hearing so much stuff about how we need to do this, how we can do that. We're hearing the abortion thing. We know that that's becoming an up and big topic. They're stopping pastors and stuff from preaching out, and then the counselors from preaching against homosexuality in California. Now we're sitting there trying to legalize marijuana in all these states. We a mess. Now, this is not a political speech. This is a biblical speech. This is a biblical message, but the land is a mess. And it's a mess because of what we want to call a three-letter word called sin. I hope you will stay with me through it, because we all struggle with this, some junk in our lives. Is that junk in our lives is actually destroying our lives. It's destroying our families. It's destroying our bloodline, and it's destroying our nation. But we think it's always a topic of this and a topic of that. But really, when it comes down, it's just a thing of sin. It's killing our country, and it's killing our families. And it has destroyed many of your lives. And we're going to talk about how God can repair that, but we just need to talk about sin for a little bit. Because this isn't about a prosperity give to get. I'm going to give and God's going to give me something back. It's going to be bigger. This isn't about turning around and saying, I'm going to get, it's all about me. It's about my best life now. Oh, I'm going to name it and I'm going to claim it. That's not working.
Right.
And I'll tell you why it's not working, because it's not biblical.
Amen.
It's not biblical. But what is biblical is when a man gets before God and calls him out what he is. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to start how all this mess began. It's just really one verse. Now, I'm not a preacher that preaches usually on one verse, because we're not going to be with one verse today. We're going to be with a few, but sometimes people will preach off of one verse, and that's great if they can, but I like to use as much of, I'm learning more and more about using more and more of God's word, because there's nothing that speaks more true than God's word, because it is truth. And in the very beginning of man, in the garden with Eve, they were doing great. But there was something that came upon, there's something that happened. As God says, you can eat of everything, but you can't eat of this tree, for when you do, it'll be your downfall. And that old serpent, you want to call him Lucifer, you want to call him Satan, you want to call him the devil, but he comes and he does what he does best. He slithers through and around your circumstances and into your life and begins to whisper words into your ears to draw you away from God, to draw you into a sinful, and he tempts you to sin. You see, he can't force you to sin, but he will tempt you to sin. And in the garden, he saw something that was really awesome. It was man and woman with a relationship with God, and their relationship was perfect. And he wanted to mess it up. And here we see in chapter 3, verse 6, it says this. When the woman, that would be Eve, saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate as well. When we see here, what is the piece that was the tempting piece for her? What was it? It was this, that it looked good. It looked good. She looks good. He looks good. Wow, he looks awesome. This guy's awesome. She looks great. Oh man, I really want that. And all of a sudden we begin to have these thoughts in our minds, and not only does it look good, but it is pleasing to my eyes. Now I'm hooked, and it is as though Satan is going to just hook, line, sinker, bag you, put you in the fish cooler. Because what we see, it draws us into temptation. It's our desires. It says, and also desirable for gaining. There's something I feel like I'm going to gain from it. But it never delivers. Sin never delivers what you think it's going to deliver. It's not going to deliver you peace. In fact, it never gives you peace. It always gives you a restlessness, conviction. You're unsatisfied with what it's giving to you, but it continues to call out. And so here it was, and she took it, and then she ate it. She did this. She ate it, and she sinned. She stepped in. She saw that it was desirable. We need to learn to control our emotions. God has given us emotions, and emotions is an amazing thing. I don't laugh as much as I should, and I don't smile as much as I should. Maybe you are the same as me, but some of us, we laugh a little bit more. Some of us, it's okay. Emotions is a godly gift that He has given to us to share and to experience. But when it leads you into sin, it leads you into temptation, you got to be careful. Don't let emotions guide you. It'll guide you into a room where you shouldn't be. It'll put you in a bed where you don't want to be in the morning. You wake up with regrets. It'll put you in a place where you don't want to be. But it doesn't matter because it doesn't love you. Sin does not love you. Satan does not love you. It does it because it doesn't love you. He tempts you because he doesn't love you. And we follow that suit. We follow that. But it didn't just stop there when she ate it. It says she also gave some to her husband. Sin loves company. Sin loves company, and it loves when you can bring your family, your spouse, or your friends along with you. The bigger, the better. Come on now. We in the house or what? The bigger, the better. Sin says, come on, I'll take all of you all because it takes us to the grave. Because of that, God says, now you are going to be, you're going to die. Man was not planned to die. But because of sin, now sin brings forth death. It does. It's not something that it just happened. It's something that happened with Eve and Adam and Eve. And because of that, sin has brought forth sin in our lives. Like I said, we're going to jump around just a little bit. I want you to jump over to 1 John, if you have your Bibles, 1 John chapter 2. If you want to talk a lot about sin, you want to get into the deep things of sin, 1 John is a great place to be. But we're just going to look at one verse here in 1 John. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. I'm going to go in verse 15. Now, once you become a believer, we're going to talk about it here in a few minutes, but once you become a believer, there needs to be a separation. He says in verse 15, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We cannot love, he calls us not to love the world. The world is a sinful, this world is a sinful place. There's nothing I'm going to do to change this world in the sense of how it does things. Once you become a believer, you step off and out of that sinful party. He says, verse 16, for everything in the world, the cravings of the sinful man, remember? The lust of his eyes and the boasting of what he has and does. It's all about him. And the Garden of Eden is all about her and all about him. For it says, everything in the world, the cravings of the sinful man was about these things, about lust of the eyes. That's what drew Eve to see. I see it. It was lust. Lust. We have a lot of lust in our hearts. We do. We lust for people. We lust for relationships. We lust for money. We lust for materials. We lust for things that other people have. We have a problem with lust. We do. And it says that for everything in the world, the cravings of the sinful man, the lust of his eyes and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father but from the world. The world and its desires pass away. But the man who does the will of God lives forever. The sin is mine. The sin is yours. We are held accountable for our sins. But there is a hope. There is a hope, but you got to do it His way. Then only His way. His is the only way that will lead you out of this hole that's heading to a place called hell, which we don't talk about, but that's where we go. But there is a hope. It's not a threat of hope. It's a big hope. It's the only hope. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Romans chapter 5. But it is a hope that is offered for every one of us. Now, I don't believe that. I believe God does miracles. I really do. I think that's a shortfall of what we're doing in churches today. I'm not running around talking about just slamming hands on people and laying people out in the Spirit. I'm not saying that. But I do believe that there is God. I believe God still wants to do miracles in your lives. I still think that He's calling people to trust Him in a higher faith than they did yesterday, but to trust Him more today. I believe that He wants to do physical healings just as much as He wants to do spiritual healings. We just don't do it and we don't teach it in churches anymore. But I'm telling you, we still serve an awesome God. And He is still a miracle worker and He's still a miracle maker. But I want to tell you, if you're struggling in sin today, because that's what I'm talking about, when you're struggling in sin today, it doesn't mean when you come to Jesus, everything goes away tomorrow. Now, there has been a few. There's been some that, man, God has just said, He just blesses over blesses and blesses and blesses, and all that stuff is gone. Wow, there's just a walking miracle. And it's amazing. But you've been doing something for 20 years. You've been doing something for 10, 20 years. And you just come over and you give your heart to Christ. It doesn't mean it all goes away. Now, some guys are going to disagree with me on that, but that's okay. Because we're going to talk about the battle that happens. That's what we're going to talk about. The battle that happens once you become a believer, and why we still struggle with sin. In chapter 5 of Romans, he says this in verse 5, and hope. Now, that's the hope. The hope is Jesus, right? The hope is Jesus, that I can take, this sin can be taken care of. It only can be taken care of through Jesus Christ, by the shedding of His blood on the cross, buried and raised again on the third day, and buried in the likeness of His death, raised in the likeness of His resurrection, and He rose again. He conquered over death. Listen, death held Him. Death held Him down, but could not hold Him down. Death got Him down, but He could not hold Him down. Because He was perfect. He was the Son of God. He was the hope that God had brought to the world for a dying and a filthy world, a dying people that are going to hell. It is the only hope, and God was not going to let His sons, because He is a perfect. He was the sacrifice for our sins. And He says, and the hope does not disappoint. This hope of Jesus does not disappoint. Listen, Jesus never disappointed you in your life. He never disappoints us in our life. If there's a disappointment, it would be us. But there is a hope that does not disappoint us. Because God has poured out His love into your heart. Your heart may have been black at one time. Dark, filled with sin. But I want to tell you, when the hope comes into you, God is beginning to do a cleanup. And cleaning up a home is not always easy. Especially, well, some of us guys don't do very good at cleaning up the garage or the home or whatever it may be. But some of you ladies are very... God's cleaning up a house, a heart that is full of sin. It's going to take a bit. Now, once you become a believer, He forgives you of your sins all at once. But there's a cleanup part, amen? There's a cleanup part, okay? He says this. He says, God has poured out His love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. So once you become a believer, He deposits His Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, not your spirit, not my spirit, because it ain't good enough. It's not worthy enough. It's not holy. But He puts inside of you what He calls the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit. He deposits that in your inner center being, your soul, your spirit. He puts that in there. And there's something new about you, that now you are a child of God. But yet you're still sinning. We need to figure this out. But we're going to figure it out. But there is a hope that does not disappoint. And he goes on to verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. If it is the ungodly, then that must be me too. Because I not always have acted godly. How about you? No. And He came at the right time. In verse 8, He says, but God demonstrates His own love. God demonstrates. He didn't just talk about it, but He demonstrated it. He put it into action. How did He do that? For us. He did it for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrated His love by putting His Son on the cross. He showed you how much He loves you. There is not another way to heaven. There's not another way for your sins to be forgiven. That was the greatest thing that could ever be done. It was the greatest thing that was ever done. So there's not going to be another way. There's not going to be another avenue. There is not another God. There is only one. It's Yahweh. It is God. It is the Father. It is the Creator of all things. The Creator of your life, my life, the one that gives us breath. It is a blessing to be alive. It is a bless to be alive. And God has given us that we don't have to, we can only experience one death, not two deaths. And He says this in verse 12, therefore, just as sin entered into the world through one man, that is Adam, Adam sinned, Eve sinned, death entered into man because of that sin. And death through sin, and in this way, death came to all men because all have sinned. For all have fallen short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and fallen short. I have fallen short because I have sinned. You have fallen short because you have sinned. You are a sinner. I am a sinner. This world is a sinner. No matter what it says and how good and how beautiful they can do things, this world is sinful. But there is a hope. And that hope continues to be Jesus Christ. That hope continues to be Jesus Christ. Now, what we know about the law is the law. Now, I don't want to lose you, but there was a time when God put together a law. There is, you know, the Ten Commandments are still good. The Ten Commandments are still good. But that will not get you, but it gives us a conscience of knowing what is right and what is wrong. And God put those in, and also all the other laws that He put in Leviticus and some of the other places, and we see all of that. But He said in verse 20, the law was added so that the trespasses might increase. What? So that sin might increase. Oh my goodness, because now we know that we've sinned. Oh my gosh, now we become more accountable. But where sin has increased, grace increased all the more. Do you understand what was just said? Though your sin is this high, grace trumps it over here and says, my hope is even bigger than your sin. That my hope is reach out for you, no matter how deep and into the darkness of sin you've been. Listen, some of you have been in some deep holes. Come on now, some of you have been in some holes that are so deep, you thought you were never going to get out. Some of you are in a hole right now that you're saying, I'm in here, but I don't know if I can get out. I want to tell you, the Bible says there's a hope. That hope is Jesus Christ. You might be just grabbing onto everything else but what God's hope is. You're grabbing onto the worldly things, but God still has His hand down. You're grabbing all over to the things that are anything and everything else. But there's a hand you just keep ignoring. You just keep ignoring. And that's the hand you need to grab onto. It's the one that can pull you out. Everything else wants to let you stay in because it's in itself. It's in itself. He says in chapter 6, for we know that our old self was crucified. Now we're going to grow up, and we're going to grow up here in a minute. We're going to grow up right now. We are now a believer. If you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you've experienced that, you've confessed your sin, you become a believer, you are that Christian, you know that. It's what He says. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him. When Jesus died on the cross, and when you come to accept that, that was your sin that He was dying for. He still paid. That was a one-time deal. He says, for we know that the old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Some of us are slaves to sin still today. There's only one chain breaker. You go to the book of Revelation, you know what it says? Jesus holds all the keys. He holds the keys to all the doors. And even those who claim to be Christians and are not and go to church and do all the good things will stand at the door and He'll say, friend, what are you doing here? He said, well, we fed the homeless. We did these things. And He says, depart from me. I never knew you. Why? Because your sin is still with you. The only way to get rid of the sin is to get with the one who paid for your sins, and that is Jesus Christ Himself. Your works will not cover your sins. Your works will not get you into heaven. Your works are not putting a smile on God's face, because your sin is still yours. It is in front of you. You've committed it. You touched it just as Eve did. You partook of it, and you've sinned. And the Bible says we were all born sinners. Works doesn't get one soul into heaven. Works come from that's accepted by God is from those who love Jesus and are doing it for Jesus. Not for their own sakes, but serving Jesus. But he says, we should know that we are no longer slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. This is the mental state, the spiritual warfare battle that many of you are fighting. I'm saved, I have a relationship with Jesus, but why do I keep sinning over and over? Because you are still playing both sides of the fence. You don't truly believe that Jesus can break the sin. You're not making strides to make the change. You're not working through it. Because if the Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that means you need to step out. Listen, what did I tell you in the beginning? There's a voice that slithers behind your mind. There's a voice that slithers around your circumstances. And he's whispering, listen, when you fall into defeat and temptation and you sin, isn't there always thinking beforehand? Isn't there always thinking? That is the dark side slithering through, speaking to you, saying, he didn't say that. That's okay. The world says it's okay. They're accepting it. You ought to accept it. The church is being too hard. Hey, it's okay. Well, just if the world said it, I might as well do it. Hook, line, and sinker. Can I remind you that God is the one that sits on the throne. He's never been pushed out. He's never been impeached. He is the one who sits on the throne from the very beginning. He created us, and we are his creation. Nobody's going to bump him off his spot. As a matter of fact, Jesus is sitting at the right hand, interceding for you and I, speaking on your behalf, saying, come on, Father, I believe in this one. I know that he can make it. I know she can make it. We're going to work this a little bit harder, but I want to tell you something. The world is sitting here on the other side saying, give it up. Give it up. Follow anything else but Jesus. You notice all the attacks are upon the Christian moral, the biblical standards that we have. All the attacks in this country right now are against the moral things and the godly things of God's Word. Because everything else is, if it's not of God's Word, it's wrong. Our morals should be, our living standards should be upon the way God has for us. Because he says anyone who has died has been freed from sin. You need to know, are you free? Now what will happen is you say, well, I struggle. And then you start beating yourself up. Satan loves to get you in a self-pity party. Come on now. There we go. Satan loves you to feel sorry for yourself. Well, God ain't about that. God says, boy, you put your bootstraps and pull your boots on and get out here and we're going to do this thing together. We're going to get up. It's tough. I know it's tough. If you can work, you ought to go out and get a job. The Bible says you don't eat. You don't work, you don't eat. That's just one verse. You don't eat, you don't work, you don't eat. It's a good biblical stand. It's a good biblical piece. We live in an entitlement world. America's all about entitlements. Lines of prescription bottles this long on the coffee table, the kitchen table. We are a mess. But if I have a relationship with Christ, I don't need to be a slave to that anymore. Now, do we need help from some others from time to time? Yes. We get ourselves in a deep hole. God uses his other children to reach and help other children. Yes. But you got to listen. You got to listen. And it doesn't always feel good. Because he's chipping away at you. He's the potter. You're the clay, and he's chipping at you. He's working something on you. And it's, listen, there are some wrongs that are killing the church. Abortion's wrong. Living together is wrong. Sex outside of marriage is wrong. Cutting your body is wrong. Putting things in your body where you can't, and your mind is changing, whether it's drugs or alcohol. And listen, it's wrong. The Bible says we should have a clean and clear mind. But we don't want to talk about these things in the church services anymore because we're afraid we're going to lose people. Listen, when Jesus was walking to the cross, the closer he got to the cross, in John chapter 6, he told him that he was, so they challenged him and really asked him. And he said, yes, I'm the Son of God. And the Bible says that at that moment, many of his disciples began to turn away because it was a hard teaching. So they began to walk away. And Jesus turns around and says, Peter, will you too also walk away? And Peter says, no. Jesus, you're the Son of God. The crowd will turn and walk away. But don't you. Don't you. You stand strong. You stand on the Word of God. You sit there, and you know what? I want to tell you, listen, I don't want you to get me wrong. We are to love one another. We are to love each other even when others are sinning. That's when we need to even love them more. Because love covers a multitude of sin. That's Scripture. Love covers a multitude of sin. We need to love one another. So if you say, oh, I don't, that person lives with someone and they're living in, listen, you love on them. You love the person, but you can hate the sin, but you love the person. That person is having a homosexual, lesbian. You love on them. The world wants you to fight them because it wants you to get into a fight. But we don't want to fight that way. But we know it's a spiritual battle. We're going to fight a different way. We're going to fight by praying. We're going to fight and we're going to grit your teeth and you ask God, Lord, show me how to love. Because some of the battle is not what they're doing. It's how we're responding to it. And we need to say, Lord, show me how to love people that don't look like me. And you get into that prayer, God's going to remind you. And you were like that too. And you had something, and you still got something. So once you step back, instead of judging them, you get back on your knees, and let's work on you for a minute, and then I'm going to use you to help someone else. And that's how God does it. That's how God does it. God's working on me on a couple of things. And I love it when he does that, because it's telling me he's not done with me yet. That he still has a purpose for me. He still wants to use me. That my time here is still valuable. I'm not just a, hey, one and done and got a few moments and I'm done. He's done with me. No, he still wants me to be even better with him. And he wants you to be better with him because there's still people that need to come to Jesus. Amen? There's people that still haven't heard the hope. Verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Now I'm starting to, I got to grow up in Jesus a little bit. I can't just sit there and just stay on my salvation piece. Once you're saved, I believe you're always saved. That's the Son of God. I believe that. But I want to tell you, when you become a Christian, you ought to sin less. As you get older in your walk with Jesus, you should sin less. Still going to sin. But I should be sinning less this year. I should be sinning less today than I was a year ago. I should. Because I should be in the Word, praying, getting more worship services in, more conversation with God, just drawing closer to Him. Because you know what it is? When you draw close to sin, guess what? You sin more, don't you? And you sin more. And then sin's got his arms wrapped around you, and it's got you in a death lock. And then we want to call out to God. And God says, and my grace is higher than your sins. He'll even reach down when us Christians sometimes will say, I can't even believe God's reaching out to that one again. Thank God that we're not God. Amen? Because we'd be hard. We're hard sometimes. He says in verse 17, for sin shall not be your master. Woo! The drug life, if you got Jesus, that needs to be done with. Jesus is your master. Listen, I don't care what the world says. Listen, you have a master of either the sinful, demonic, sold, sinful life, lost, or you have the master of God. Everybody has a master. Know why? Because we were created. We were created to have God as our master. But we walked away from God because of sin, and we picked up a new God. In America, it's The false trinity, me, myself, and I. I love me, I love myself, and I am awesome. So I want all these things to come inside me. I want all these things for me, my self-gratification. I want these things. So we step away from God, we rebel against God, and we pick up our own stuff. And so what we have is we push God out. And we don't do that anymore. Once we do that, we come back to God. We say, listen, I need God in my life. I need salvation. I need this peace. And once we do that, we find out that sin is not my master anymore. Because you are not under the law, but you're under grace. In verse 23, he says, for the wages of sin is death. Without Jesus Christ, we're guilty as charged. The wages of sin is death. Doesn't matter what you drive, doesn't matter where you live, what job you got, how much funds you got, what your name is, your status, all of those things. Sin doesn't pick any class, anything. It just is sin. I believe today that hell is filled up with a lot of kings and queens and very, very established people. But also I believe it's filled up with those people who've had self-pity upon themselves and who claimed there was no God and did their own thing and said, well, I was poor. I didn't have anything. God, listen, it isn't that those things are not in his face. Our sin is what is in our face. Unless we have Jesus Christ, and then we have Jesus standing in front of us. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And how? In Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus is your only hope. Now, what has happened sometimes is we get to a place where we struggle. And life is tough. But let's be honest. Sometimes we make it tougher than it should be. Because we like to flirt with sin. Come on now. We like to flirt with sin. We like to toy with it. I'm going to get close, but I'm not going to touch it. This is what happened with Eve. Going to get close. Takes it. And before you know, you will do what you said you would never do again. Boom. And you're like, man. And we get hard on ourselves. And God sometimes says, oh, yeah, be hard on yourself. Because next time, you might have to pay the full consequences. And that's a tough one. I want to tell you, you've not committed no sin that Jesus cannot forgive you of. So many people say, well, you just don't know what I did. I don't need to know what you did. God knows already what you did. So if you are a super secretive person, private, think you got 10 locks on the door in your skeleton closet, God just walks right through. He's seen it all. These are, once again, lies of the devil that continue to what it does is it pushes people away. In verse 15, he says, I don't understand what I do. Now, some of you may relate with this. He says, I don't understand what I do. For what I want to do, I don't do it. But what I hate, I do. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I know some of you just want to shoot your hand up and say, you know what? I don't do what I know I need to do. But I do what I know I'm not supposed to do. I hate that. Because I have fell in that spot so many times. But I want to tell you the difference between a man of God, a baby in Christ, is this. When a baby in Christ continues to live this way, they're being pulled back and forth and there's really no growth in their life. They're always out in the ocean, in the water, gasping for breath, and going under, gasping for breath and going under. But the man of God looks and he realizes from the conviction, and he spends time in prayer, not just as the person out in the water always saying, help me God, but come to a place where say, God, help me. Not in the yelling, not in a rescue, but Lord, help me. Why is my heart so broken? I don't know why I keep doing what I do. And I want to tell you, when you have a conversation, you begin to pray with God, let me tell you, God is listening. And God is working a plan in your life because he doesn't want you to be there either. He says, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. Yeah, there's nothing good in me, that part of my sinful life. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. I want to go to church on a regular basis, but why can't I do it? I want to be able to help people, but I never show up. I want to volunteer, but I never do this. I have an attitude toward the things that God wants me to do, but I don't want to be a part of it, but yet I do. I want this, but I don't want to put the effort into it. Now, if I do, what I do not want to do is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, listen to me, evil is right there with me. Let's get this idea that evil is never going to leave us while we're here on this earth. Darkness is always going to be in the midst, okay? Do we understand that? So don't have this idea that, oh, I'm coming to Jesus and, man, it's just golden streets from here. Anytime I see people just always like, hallelujah, praise the Lord, put your hand on that. I'm like, now there may be times for that. But if they're always like that, I'm like, man, that person must be all jacked up on Jesus and all this good stuff. And I don't understand because I don't know anybody like that. Because life is struggling, okay? But he says, what a wretched man that I am. How many of y'all admit today? I know this. I am a wretched man. I know that. I ain't worth nothing. This world wouldn't miss me more than 5 minutes. Have a funeral and I'd be done, and the world wouldn't miss me. But I thank God that the world isn't my God. But there is a God who cares. And he loves you. He loves you right where you're at, but his love is so strong, he won't leave you there. He has a process of getting you to where he wants you to be. He says, what a wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Who's going to do it? He says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is through Jesus who will deliver you from that. Right now, some of you are going through a mist, a fog, and you're not understanding what's going on. You're kind of confused in your walk in the Lord. You're confused right now, but I'm going to tell you, listen, there are two voices going on in your mind right now. There's three, there's yours, but there's that slithering darkness that is continuing to whisper in your ear all these things, and you know that it's not right. You know that voice. That's that temptation. Come on now, amen? Sometimes we need to hang up on somebody. Boom. Because it comes many times through people. Come on. We got somebody here. But then there's also that other voice that says, come on now. You know better than that. That's not you. That's not you. I saved you from that. So then, I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law. Now he says, listen, in my mind, now I'm going to make this adjustment. It is a battle of the mind. I'm not going to listen to this law. I'm not going to listen to this. I'm going to turn my life over to God. Listen, I gave my heart to Jesus when I was 12, but I didn't give him my life until I was 30. And there is a difference. I had Jesus from 12 to 29. I had Jesus. I was saved. I was doing the thing. I was playing the game. I was worshiping. I was doing some things. But at 30, I finally came to a point and said, God, what is my purpose? Show me what it is. Here I am. I'll do whatever it is. But here it is. I have no peace in my life. And you can be saved and still have no peace. Because I testify to that. But when you get to a place where you turn your life over to God and you say, here I am, God will give you a peace because now you're giving him full control of your whole self. Not just of your sin, but your whole self. He says, so then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Praise God for that. Because Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life, has set me free from the law of sin and death. Jesus sets you free. Jesus sets you free. So let's begin to act free. Amen? We need to act free. We need to be free. Because we are free indeed. Now, last piece. I got two verses. Now, some of this may not have hit any of you today, and that's okay. But I also want to give you a warning. I don't give you the warning, but God gives you the warning. And so, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, so if you think that you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Don't get cocky in your walk thinking you all that. And then some. He says, you just might fall. Because once you start getting cocky, you're doing it on your own and not in God's power. And when you do things on your own, you will fail. I'm a testimony to that. When you do things on your own, you will fail. Christian or not, you will fail. But when you do it in God's power, you can succeed. So don't think that you can do it all on your own, because everybody needs somebody. Everybody needs the Lord. But sometimes we all need somebody. And listen, I want a person who's walking with God when I'm in the struggle to pray for me. Because this was the time for about 2 years that I would always go to someone and said, will you pray for me at the altar? And I would get a man that I thought was walking with the Lord. Because I didn't think really God was hearing my prayers. Or I just go up there and I was just laying myself before the Lord because I wasn't understanding. And the thing was, is I just wasn't right with God and I need to take care of those things. But for 2 years, God kept working and I trusted someone else to pray for me because I believed they were walking with the Lord. And listen, the Bible says the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That means you find somebody that's walking with Jesus, their prayers are powerful. And I took that scripture to experience it. And I said, man, that guy right there, I know he's not perfect, but I know he's walking with God and I want him to pray for me because God's hearing his prayers. His prayers are powerful. That's not my words. That's the book of James, chapter 5. Now, we're going to close with this piece here. Sometimes we think that the temptation that comes upon us is more than we can handle. Now, I want to tell you, sometimes you just need to take an about face. That's a military term where you just kind of turn around and you need to walk in the other direction. Don't try to have that conversation with God in the bar. Don't have that conversation at a party where you know it's not a party. It is a party. And you want to have a conversation, Lord, help me in this place tonight. But boy, what does she look good. We're just fooling ourselves. This is what he says. He says that first verse was, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. But then he says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. That means the temptations that you got are the same as everybody else. Just maybe a little bit different in some sense, but it's going to be common to man. It isn't something that the demonic is going to do and just throw a hook on you and pull you and you can't help it. It's not going to be where you can't help it. He says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and good, and God is faithful. The Bible says even when we're not faithful, God is faithful because he cannot deny himself. Why does he say that? Because if he's put his spirit inside of you, he cannot deny himself because he deposits his Holy Spirit inside of you. And the Bible says that if you're a believer and you're unfaithful to him, he still will be faithful because he cannot deny himself. Woo! That's an awesome God we serve. That means when you walk out on the marriage, he's still walking with you. What kind of God is that? That's a loving God. That's a God that keeps his promises. That's a God of commitment. That's a God of true forgiveness. When you apologize, he takes it. He says he casts your sins as far as the east is from the west. So when you walk away and you say, I'm just going to walk away from it, God walks with you because once you're a child, listen, you that are parents, don't you love your children when they're doing well and when they don't? And sometimes when your one child is not doing so great, you have a tendency, your love is kind of leaning more toward that one that's not doing so great. Your extra love, because you know they need it. What are they doing? They're breaking your heart. We break God's heart. And I admit today I broke his heart a time or two. I don't like it when I break his heart. Because I'm reminded of how awesome he is. He says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. That means if it gets too hot, he'll pull it out. He'll say, nah, no, that's enough. They can't bear it anymore. But he'll let. So our temptation is this. If we fall into the sin and we commit the sin, it's on us. Because God says, I'm not going to give you more than you can bear. But when you are tempted, he says this, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand under it and not let it be over you. God gives us a way out. He won't allow temptation to be stronger than what we can bear. So when we sin, whose fault is it? Ours. Mine. It's mine. Sorry, I got one more verse. Verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. You can't flirt with darkness and say you have a relationship with God in the light. I've heard people say this, and I believe it is true. Once you become a believer, it seems like things go really good for a short bit. And then all of a sudden, temptation just comes up on you like a tidal wave. It's in every corner of your life, every conversation. Welcome to your first test of faith. God will test our faith. And as we start passing those tests, faith tests, the tests of faith will even get stronger at times and get harder at times. But it's during those times that we seek a closer relationship with God. But then you'll find yourself passing tests. And there'll be a time or two when you will fail. But it just said he is faithful. Praise God for that. That after one fail, we're not done. Now, don't get me wrong. There are consequences. Sometimes on the earth even gives us, the world gives us consequences for certain sins. But I want to tell you this. There's no bigger person that is pulling for you than Jesus Christ. Because we may invest in you as a church. You may invest in this church with finances. You may invest in this church with your service. But no one's invested their life for you, like Jesus Christ. He took those nails in his hands and his feet. He took those 39 lashes, those punching, kicking, the pulling of his beard. The Bible says that he was unrecognizable. That means if you knew him, you didn't really know it was him by his looks. They beat him so bad. And Jesus says something so crazy on the cross. He said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." That's a love that I'll never understand until we get there. What he was saying was, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. But praise be to Jesus Christ that he fulfilled the vision and mission that God gave to him so that we may have a relationship with Jesus Christ and be redeemed and reconciled. And sanctification means now that we're set apart from the world. I know it's a big word, but it's a word we need to know. Sanctification, set apart now. I'm not of the world, but now I am of God's world. I am a new creation. I have a new mind in Jesus Christ. I'm set free from the chains of bondage. And if you are struggling with some of those things, today is your day. It's your day. Praise be to God. Let's stand.